Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا على صلاة هيا على صلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
اللهم ربنا زدنا والصلاة القائمة آتي محمدا رسولا خليلا والدرجة الآخرة بعد مقام مقبولا الذي بعده الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين. And revealed His last ayah as This day have I perfected for you your way of life. I have completed my favor upon you, and I have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, yuhyi wa yumeet bi yadihil khayr wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And we bear witness to testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no object, no deity, no object of worship except Allah. His is the kingdom. His is the power. In His hand is all good. He has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And we bear open and sound testimony without reservation, hesitation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is His slave servant, His last and final prophet. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ Send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad. Wa ala alihi upon his family wa sahbihi ajma'in and his companions, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun and to you, O Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah be upon you. And Jumu'ah Mubarak. Blessed Jumu'ah. Amma ba'd. A'uzu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. ألم تر إلى الذين حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن أتاه الله الملك إذا قال إبراهيم رب الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبحت الذي كفروا كفرا والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this, the 258th verse of the second surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. Have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given him kingship? When Abraham said, "My Lord is the one who gives life and causes death," he said, "I give life and cause death." Abraham said, "Indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west." So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, today we continue with part 7 of the topic, the nature of truth and reality. The nature of truth and reality. We have been going through 4 verses, Surah Al-Baqarah. This is the last of those verses, while last of our commentary on that set of verses with respect to the subject, the nature of truth and reality. However, this is the last of the 4 verses. And we won't go through the previous, obviously, if this is 7, then we have 6 previous segments, and you're welcome and invited to go back and listen to those as well in our archives. Truth and reality for human beings is all about Abraham. It's all about Abraham. I feel the urge to remind you as you listen to what we are saying. We are not being light about any point that we make. Any point that we make, it is technically intended for you to grasp and literally say, okay, I get it. And I'll hold on to that. So that Abraham, that truth and reality is all about Abraham, especially with and because of what Allah has told us about him in the Quran. It's very important to understand this. And while it's all about Abraham, it additionally is therefore, that is, this is conclusively, is therefore about arguing. It's about arguing. Now, when I say argue, I'm not talking about the arguments you have with your coworkers or with your business partner, with your husband, with your wife, with your children. No, I'm not talking about that arguing. We're talking about reasoning systematically. Reasoning systematically. This is something, it's just like, it's like communication, right? Everybody that is talking is not communicating. Everybody that is hearing is not listening. Everybody that is conscious is not thinking. Everybody who is thinking, not reasoning systematically, meaning that is, one thing doesn't ensure that the other thing is happening. And sometimes we can think that we're doing one thing, particularly the last matter, and not be doing it. Okay? So one is that hearing, just because you hear the words, don't mean that you're listening. In order to really be listening, that means you have to grasp the content in the communication. If you don't grasp the content in the communication, that is to say, if you don't listen, you won't grasp the content in the communication. You heard it, but you weren't listening. Similarly, communication. The person is saying something, you're talking, but is what you're saying achieving the end that you hope? Well, if you don't understand the nature of communication and you fail to use that moment of exchange, thinking much less about communicating and thinking more about just talking, well, then you can be talking, but you're not communicating. Okay, same way in terms of thinking. There are people, you can listen, you will definitely say it sounds like they're thinking. I mean, and it sounds like they put a lot of thought into whatever it is that they may be saying. And so you might say, you know, well, he's a thinker, she's a thinker, or what have you. Well, unless you know how to deconstruct what they have served up to you as a thought or as a thinking, you might not be able to discern whether that constructed speech is actually reasoning systematically. And if it's not reasoning systematically, and you're not able to discern the way by which they are reasoning in their speech, then you can get deceived. You can get deceived by a very well-constructed deception, a very well-constructed lie, fabrication, etc. So the ability to deconstruct, take apart, analyze, critique what someone serves up to you as ideas or theories or concepts or narratives or whatever, you have to be able to say, okay, we'll bring it in. And you have to be able to subject it to systematic reasoning in order to say, well, I see your conclusion, but that conclusion doesn't follow naturally from what you provided to me as a premise, etc. I see what you're trying to say, but what you're trying to say is disconnected from what you're using as evidence to support your case or your issue. I mean, how many people really in society really think like that? The vast majority of people don't think like that. But Abraham is our model. So in order to have the best possible life, especially now, who? In this age of disinformation, misinformation, fake news, and whatever. I mean, people are throwing information at you from every quarter. You turn on TV, there's something. You open up social media, there's something. Whatever. It's just, you don't have a way to filter that to bring you to comfort. There's this, the book is Information Anxiety by Saul Werman. We read this 20 years ago. It's a very important book. Saul Werman is the one who organized the first telephone books, that AT&T, Pacific Bell, whoever it was at the time. So he knows about information. And one of the things that he knew was also the idea that information can bring you into anxiety if you don't know how to process the information. One of the big ideas from that publication was idea precedes the understanding of fact. Idea precedes the understanding of fact. I'll say that a third time. Idea precedes the understanding of fact. So when someone can bring you literally, actually, truthfully, bona fide, credible facts, it's a fact. And they can stack up a bunch of facts. Alhamdulillah, what do you got? You got a stack of facts. That's what you have. You have a stack of facts. Now, what those facts mean, now you got to bring something else to the party. You have to bring the ability, put the proper frame on the facts in order to derive the truth from the facts. Because just because somebody gives you the facts, they haven't given you the truth. Truth is in the interpretation of the facts. And what determines your interpretation of the facts? The idea that precedes that process of interpretation. The idea that precedes the process of interpretation is called a frame. It's called a frame. So everybody brings their frame to every set of facts. Everybody brings their own. Everybody. The Democrats can look at the same set of facts that the Republicans look at. The Fox News can look at the same set of facts that MSNBC looks at, same set of facts. And each one of them can bring a parade of experts to support the position that they would like to promote. Both of them got credentials, sometimes from the same schools. But each one is arguing against the other's position about the same set of facts. What do? in the face of that situation? Well, if you don't know how to reason systematically, and if you don't know how to analyze what's being put forward as the claim, as the truth, or what their argument is, well, then you're pretty much chuck out of luck. You know, I don't want to get cavalier in my promotion, but sometimes you can't avoid those little rhetorical quips. But I'm doing all that I can to remain very, very serious. Brother and sister, there is no reasoning without presuppositions or an existing frame of reference. There is no meaning. If you're going to reason systematically, reasoning is a process. Reasoning is a process. Reasoning is a process. Nobody who does reasoning. Remember, everybody who's thinking is not reasoning in that sense, or reasoning systematically, but we just use one word right now. Everybody that's thinking is not reasoning. But whoever is reasoning, there is no reasoning without some presuppositions, because there's certain things you have to assume in order to start thinking about it. Certain things you have to assume in order to start thinking about it. And whatever you assume or whatever your presuppositions are, you know, you got a dictionary, you just got to look them up. Whatever you bring as a presupposition, that is your frame of reference. Frame of reference. Here's something that strikes right away in the environment that we live in the times that we're in. There was a disease that was discovered, labeled, promoted, etc. during slavery. It's called dreptomania. Dreptomania. It's got a funny kind of spelling to it. I think there's a D-R-A-E instead of the D-R-E-A, you would think. Dreptomania. Look at that. Dreptomania. And what was the disease? These were people who had the credentials of the time, doctors who had the credentials of the time. Let me remind you. Harvard was established in the 17th century. I'm not remembering right now if it was like 1695, something like that. Point is, 17th century, okay? This conversation, this dreptomania was something that was, you know, declared, defined, or what have you, in the late, or in, let's call it, let's make it the mid-19th century during slavery. Dreptomania. What was dreptomania? Dreptomania is the disease of the slave to tend to want to run away. It's like, oh, that's a disease. They named it. They rationalized it. They supported it with X number of presuppositions. So they were reasoning, but they were reasoning from a set of presuppositions that provided the framework where that statement made sense to people who shared their frame and presuppositions, which were, among them, whites are superior, blacks are inferior, blacks were born to be slaves, it's their nature to be slaves, and in terms of stealing, for them to run away, they are stealing the master's property. Now, I know in the 21st century, you say, what the hell is that? Insane. It wasn't insane then. It wasn't insane then. That was the theory of the day. They were reasoning from the presupposition of the frameworks of white supremacy. I'll just abbreviate it. The framework of white supremacy. And so anything that happened was judged inside that frame. So I use that as an exaggerated but clearly pointed example to say that while it's true for that is so blatant, we should understand that it's true for every reasoning, good reasoning, bad reasoning, good frames, bad frames, good motivations, bad motivations. Doesn't matter. Everybody that's reasoning, every one of these talking heads on social media, every one of these talking heads on news pieces, blogs, what have you, all of them, if they are presenting a reasoned case, meaning that, let me tell you what's going on. You don't like the old Andy Rooney 60 Minutes thing. You know what I'm saying? Whoever's talking to, it doesn't matter. You pick your talking head, and if they're presenting information to you. They're presenting it to you from their frame of reference, which does not exist without presuppositions. So the presuppositions that are involved with their frame take the facts that are in front of them, and they filter them, and they process them, and they serve them back to their audience to say, and this is what those facts mean. All right. Once we understand that there is no reasoning without presuppositions and existing frame of reference, I said in the beginning that truth and reality, because this whole conversation, this seventh part, is a part of a series that's aimed at how do you discover the truth? What is the nature of truth and reality? That's a whole journey. It's like, because what do we want? Whenever we hear, I don't care who we hear and what we hear, is tell me anything. I just want the truth. Now, if you bring me the truth and I have the ability to look at what you bring me and say, well, yeah, that's the truth. Okay? But if you bring me the truth and I don't know how to process what you bring me, I don't know whether this is truth or not. And I'm saying today, the main thing you need is the truth, because the main thing that's at work right now is lies. Lies. But if you can't tell the truth from the lie, that's a problem. Okay? So, we said, so that truth and reality for human beings is all about Abraham, and with that, it's all about arguing, and by arguing, we mean reasoning systematically. And what is the basis of that? A'udhu billah. Alam tara illa alladhi haja Ibrahim. Have you not seen the one who argued with Abraham? So, 2:130, that is Surah Al-Baqarah 130, says, and who turns away from the religion of Abraham but such as debase their souls with folly? Who is it that turns away from the religion of Abraham but one who debases themselves with folly? Okay? And it's the millah to Ibrahim that's mentioned here also. So what's the millah? The millah is the way of Abraham, the hope of Abraham, the aspiration of Abraham. Think about what you know about Abraham. Abraham is a searcher. Abraham is a searcher. Star, moon, sun, searching. How will the resurrection be? Searching, right? All of that, trying to, you know, who is God? Searching, right? That's his nature, and that's our nature. Looking for what? The truth. The opposite of Abraham is foolishness. That's the opposite of Abraham, foolishness. So get you a thesaurus or book of synonyms, antonyms, whatever. Put foolishness on one side, and whatever the language is on the other side, that's Abraham. Abraham is the opposite of foolishness. So therefore, for Muslims, no Muslims should be fools. No Muslims should be fools. No Muslims should embrace foolishness. No Muslims should enjoy foolishness. No Muslim should find their greatest entertainment in acting a fool. It's against our religion. Have fun, yeah, but don't be a fool. And don't revel in foolishness. Very important. That's against the millat of Ibrahim. That's 2:137. That's Surah Al-A'raf 133. It says, say, the things of my Lord indeed, the things that my Lord have indeed forbidden are shameful deeds, whether open or secret, sins and trespasses against truth or reason. Sins and trespasses against truth or reason. And the word that's used in that verse 7:133, that Al-A'raf verse 133, is haq, al-haq, against the haq, against truth and reality, okay? Assigning partners to Allah for which you have no authority, and saying things about Allah which you have no knowledge. We're about to proceed a little more so. That, as we began this series with Surah 2, Ayah 255, Ayah, the Ayah, Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the throne. That was the cornerstone of this four set of verses, because that, in all that we say, is in your search for truth. The starting line is Allah, as He has revealed Himself to us. Okay? All of your reasoning, the presuppositions, the frame that you have, that is, for the Muslim, it begins with La ilaha illallah. It begins with sifatullah. It begins with the attributes of Allah. It begins with Allah, who has certain qualities and does not have certain other qualities. The distinction between who and what Allah is, and also what Allah is not. Start from there. That begins your frame of reference. That provides the presuppositions that anything brought to you is considered in its light. If you start your reasoning process without God in it, you started the wrong way. You started the wrong way. And think about this world that we're in right now. It's like you really show yourself to be real smart when you don't accept God. We don't accept, we don't talk about God here. If you do, then you're not smart. It's like there's something wrong with you. Okay. Any case. So trespassing against truth, and then the last two pieces, basically there are like four pieces later. Shameful deeds, open and secret, that's one. Sins and trespasses against truth and reason, that's two. Assigning partners to Allah for which you have no authority, that's three. Meaning that you're going to give God some attributes. God said, I didn't authorize those attributes to be applied to me. So you're saying you are assigning partners to Allah, assigning partners to Allah for which He gave no authority. So Allah has no partners. La sharika lah. But then it says, and saying things about Allah, that would include the attributes, things about Allah which you have no knowledge. Stop making up things about Allah. Stop making up things about Allah. Stop making partners for Allah. Stop violating the rules of reasoning, truth and reasoning. And also stop doing shameful deeds openly and secretly. That's what God has forbidden. People want to complicate what God has. Oh God, you can't do it. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Everywhere. No. Not be done, mashallah. All right. So we're going to take a minute and just kind of walk through. Really, I would see this actually as really a cornerstone story for the life of Abraham. This is without the benefit of, you know, studying Abraham's life chronologically, but he did this when he was a youth, right? So this appears to me to be the earliest thing that Allah provides to us in the Quran about Abraham. The question of how the resurrection be, I don't think that came before this. The question of the star, moon, sun, I don't think that came before this. It could be, I don't know. So that part I'm not going to stake out as affirmatively. But since he did this as a youth, and since this is primary, this is a cornerstone story for Abraham, and you all know it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. It's from 21, I believe that chapter is Al-Anbiya, I believe. 21, 51 through. I'm going to read the whole thing, 51 through 70. All right? So just kick back and listen to the story. We bestowed before time on Abraham his rectitude of conduct, and well were we acquainted with him. Behold, he said to his father and his people, what are these images to which you are assiduously devoted? They said, we found our fathers worshiping them. He said, indeed, you have been in manifest error and your fathers. They said, have you brought us the truth or are you of those who jest? He said, no. Your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. This is where my hesitation came in. Said, well, maybe this was after the star, moon, sun, and he got it. So now he's marching back into town to act on it. This is what I'm saying. So he seems very, very clear who God is. No questions about it. So this probably came after that fact. That's his revolution, his protest movement. Allah matters. Allahu Akbar. He's tearing up stuff, too. Allahu Akbar. I'm sorry. MashaAllah. Y'all know me. Okay. So he said, have you brought us the truth, or are you of those who jest? He said, nay, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and who created them, speaking of the idols, created them, pardon me, heavens and the earth, he created them, heavens and the earth, from nothing. And I am a witness to this truth. So, mashallah, yeah, he had got the evidence, and he's coming back with the evidence. Alhamdulillah. 57, and by Allah, I have a plan for your idols after you go away and turn your back. So he told the truth then. He didn't tell what the plan was, but he definitely told him, I got a plan. So he broke them to pieces. Yeah, right now. It's like, was he a protester, a rioter, or a looter? I don't know. You think about it. So he broke them to pieces, all but the biggest of them, that they might turn and address themselves to it. Okay? They said, who has done this to our gods? He must indeed be some man of impiety, unrighteous, right? They said, we heard a youth talk of them. He's called Abraham. They said, then bring him before our eyes. The eyes of the people, that they may bear witness, people, bear witness, that is him, he's the one that did it. And they said, are you the one that did this to our gods? See, they wanted the truth from him. They wanted the truth, right? Even though they were worshiping idols. Everybody wants the truth. It's a universal, right? Are you the one that did this to our gods, Abraham? He said, this translator says, nay, this was done by, and then no words there. It says, this is their biggest one. Ask them if they can speak intelligently. So another way of just phrasing it is that, well, somebody did it. Ask the big one, you know. And you could even ask, since you're doing translation or expression, and he said, well, he got the axe on him. It's like, so ask him, right? He put the axe on the big one. It's like, he got the axe. What you asking me for? He got the axe. Allahu Akbar. Ask him. Alhamdulillah. So somebody did it. Ask him if he can speak intelligently. So then they turned to each other and said, surely you are the ones in the wrong. Meaning both of them, they're conflicted, right? And God says, then they were confounded with shame. They said, you know full well these idols do not speak. Abraham said, do you then worship besides Allah things that can neither be of any good to you or do you harm? So what's the benefit of them, right? And then Abraham says, fie on you. And upon the things that you worship besides Allah, don't you have intellects? This is what Abraham, Ya'qilun. Said, don't you have intellects? Use your brains. This is what he's saying. Use your brains. You're going to worship something that can't do you benefit, can't do you harm. Why are you worshiping this thing? Use your brains. They said, burn him and protect your gods if you do anything at all. Then they said, we said, fire, be cool and peace for Abraham. And then they sought a stratagem against him, but we made them the ones that lost the most. Sadaqallahu alazim. So Abraham was making an argument by his demonstration. He was making an argument by demonstrating to them things that they were unconscious of, things that they were unconscious of, wanted to raise their consciousness. So here's the word, cognitive dissonance. And that can be applied to the one who argued with Abraham, and it can be applied to Abraham's people after he had destroyed the idols and left the big one standing, he brought them both into cognitive dissonance. You know, we make jokes about being on brain lock, right? It's like their brains stopped working. There was nothing that they could do with it. It's like, and that's the point. The truth, when we talk about when we talked about Surah 2, Ayah 255, the verse of the throne, all of this, it's the end of the argument. It's the end of the argument. When you put your opponent on brain lock, when you put your opponent in conflict with what they say they believe, you have come to the truth. You have exposed the falsehood in what they have. And, of course, as we go on, we'll come to these other verses. It says truth hit falsehood in the truth comes hits falsehood in the head and knocks out its brain. So how do you know when you have the truth? When the brain of the opposer is locked. When the brain of the opposer ceases to function. It does. I mean, it can start babbling and doing whatever it is, but the point is the whole systematic reasoning and the premises upon which they will conclude, the conclusions they were given, and after all the legs have been knocked from beneath the supports that they give to their conclusion by the systematic reasoning that you brought to their argument, that party is over. That party is over. That's like somebody sitting in a car and you done took all the wheels off the car. They sitting in the car acting like they're going somewhere. It's like, you ain't going nowhere. Look at me. I'm driving. No, you had a standstill because everything that would give your argument some legs have been knocked from beneath you. You cannot achieve that without being able to reason systematically. And that's also, it's very important. It's like, who teaches you how to think? Isn't that what I'm saying? Okay, you think in a certain way. And I guess I can say, all thinking ain't good thinking, but thinking. So you do need to be mindful of who teaches you how to think. Because if someone teaches you a way of thinking, then they're bringing you into a particular kind of mindset, mind frame. They are bringing you into a situation where certain things will be seen and certain things will not be seen. So depending on who teaches you how to think, they can make you blind to a very large segment of reality. It's very important. And I'm just going to say this as an aside, because understanding the nature of human thought and that also includes, well, yeah, how much universe is there? I mean, there's a whole universe of the universe, okay? And how much of it is relevant to each of us all the time? There's a very big part of the entire universe that is not relevant to us all the time, period. Just not relevant. So how much time do we spend thinking about those irrelevant aspects of the universe? Now, you might have somebody that has psychological, mental problems, things that are irrelevant, you know, that are real, however, in the universe, but irrelevant to the reality of their situation. Well, that's a mental illness. But in order for you and I to move through the world, certain things, if I get in my car, go back to the car. If I get in my car and I'm, now I wasn't driving 5 minutes before I got in the car. So 5 minutes before, whatever's going on with the car, it wasn't relevant. 5 minutes before, it wasn't relevant. But as soon as I get in the car and start to drive, I'm in a new world. I have to change my reference points. I have to change my frame. I have to change my mind. I have to change my decision as what's relevant and what's not relevant. If I don't make that proper change in the changed situation, I'll do the wrong thing at the wrong time and obviously won't make progress. Brother and sister, that explicit concrete example applies to everything. Husband, when you are at work, you are in the work environment. I know what time it is right now, you know, the COVID scenario, but, and there's some who are still working. In any case, so then when you come home and you're with your wife, you're not at work anymore. You're at home. You got to switch frame of reference. if you don't switch the frame of reference and you continue to behave the way you are on the job, in the house, you're going to do the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way. Why? It's a failure to change frames. Right? So I'm saying that's true. That's true for everything. So the reality for us is, in order for us to know how to do the right thing at the right time in the right way, then we have to know how to think about the situation that we're in. We need to understand what's relevant, what's irrelevant, to know what's to discount and what's to elevate in its value of the situation. Yeah, yeah. In order to have a good life, you have to think. Zakir in never at zikra. Think, for surely you progress by the power of thought. So this is the danger of being driven by emotions. Being driven, you're not getting rid of emotions. You can't do it. As long as you're human, you can't get rid of emotions. You know, you got emotions. You are an emotional being, meaning it's at the substructure of your reality is your emotions, right? They just have to come into the right utilization, right frame, right discipline, et cetera, according to the right set of values, et cetera. Love what you should love and hate what you should hate. Well, you need the frame of God to tell you this is what you should love and this is what you should hate. That's not whatever childish, like the world might tell you. No, that's wisdom. That's wisdom because God tells us it may be that you love a thing that you should hate. It may be that you hate a thing that you should love. And if you use someone else's frame of reference, presuppositions about what's good, what's bad, etc., and they conflict with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the nature of creation, by the nature of your humanity, and you use something other than that, this is why your life won't be good. Because Allah knows what makes your human life good. Allah knows what rewards and benefits from the creation as He has created it. And this is what al-Islam is. Al-Islam is we take our will and resign our will to the will of Allah, which means we invite Allah to be our frame of reference. We invite Allah to provide for us the presuppositions. We invite Allah to allow us to know and understand in the way that He would have us know and understand whatever it is that we are thinking about, whatever it is that we're reasoning about, mashallah. And in that way, Allah becomes the guide for us. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh Allah, let not our hearts deviate now after your guidance is right, and grant us mercy from your own presence, for surely you are the grantor of bounties without measure. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. So, Bismillah, in the story that we read of Abraham, if you look, that is 21 through 21, 51 through 70, go back, read it again. But I say to you this, that in that very situation, what Abraham was arguing with his people, because it's just fundamental, primary, and critical to his whole mission. It's like the problem is you all are worshiping idols and you're not worshiping Allah. That's the problem I have with you all, speaking as Abraham. It's like, that's the problem. Why are you worshiping these idols? Stop it. Stop it. Why? Why is that important? I mean, for humanly speaking, it is what we need to know right now. God has to be first. Faith in Allah matters. Faith in Allah matters. Faith in Allah matters. And if you allow anything to override that as the cornerstone for your thinking, feeling, and acting, then you might have an idol that you're worshiping. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow we'll spend a little more time with that one. But the idea is, have you not seen the one who makes his own passions his Lord? See, you can have a passion for something, and no matter what the motivations for the passion are, no matter what the motivation for the passion, I have this saying that I say, bean pie or die, right? BPIDIE. BPI, beneficial positive intent. DIE, desired internal experience. Everybody, no matter what they do, no matter why they do it, this moment right here, you where you are, doing what you are, we both have a BPIDIE, bean pie or die. Each one of us have a beneficial positive intent. I have a beneficial positive intent by doing what I'm doing. You have a beneficial positive intent by doing what you're doing. I have a desired internal experience by doing what I'm doing, and you have a desired internal experience by doing what you're doing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Everybody is doing and do what they do because of BPIDIE. All right. So even if you say, no, it's right, we should do that because that's the way it is, because of this and that, because I'm not saying it's not, how can you say it, that it's somehow irrational for you to feel that way. You're a human being. It's how human beings respond to things. But when you bring Allah first into it, which means you also bring a reference. Let me bring it over here. Let me put it in the Quran and see what it says. Let me run it through the Quran. Let me give it one pass with the Quran, see what Quran comes up with. One of the things is that, have you not the one who makes his passion the Lord? You can be very passionate about it, but you got to be careful because that passion can blow up and become your God. You might not even know it. The other side of it, Quran, many do mislead men by their appetites unchecked by knowledge. It's like, are you using your brain or are you just emoting? What are we supposed to do? Well, first thing you're supposed to do is think. That's a good place to start, right? And think with what? First thing, and your first thought should be Allah. 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 Okay, how much of it, what does this have to do with whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking? Question, what does Allah have to do with this? Now, if you're not willing to start with that as your first premise, okay, you're already on the wrong road. MashaAllah, you're going to be on the Taghut path. It's going to take you out of the life. Muslim. I'm not talking to non-Muslims. I'm talking to Muslims who may, you have to be careful, who may get intoxicated with the spirit of the dead. Wait, we go. Okay, slow down. Let's first start with, is Allah God? And does anything happen without Allah knowing, allowing, etc.? Does anything happen outside of God's plan? Oh, you mean God let that happen? Well, if Allah allows something to happen, it's designed to bring about the best for the most. Now, if you just take 1 second to think about that primary event that generated this atmosphere and time that we're in right now, look at what has happened with it. You can't see the qadr of Allah in that? You can't see the qadr of, then you have some issues. You have some issues with your iman. Because when the whole world is woke up in a way that it has never been woke up before, and you don't see God, who you think has something to do with that? One little organization in America? Yeah, they started a long time ago. Now they're in the world. Finally caught on to where they are. No. Nothing happens except by the will of Allah. It's Allah's plan. Now, Allah uses people and organizations to execute his will, mashallah, even those who are working against Allah's will. As Satan said, I'll come at them from the left, from the right, from before, from behind. You find most of them unfit. God says, Alayya mustaqim. That will lead straight to me. If we talk about anti-fragile, I'm going to have to go. Anti-fragile. You know, anti-fragile is every knock is a boost. Let's just put it that way. Every knock is a boost. Now, how long Bilal has been getting knocked on? He's been getting knocked on just forever. You know, temporarily speaking, 400, 500 years. but still I rise. Just like you know who it is. I know why the Cage Bird sing. I'm sorry, my mind is somewhere else. But you know who I'm talking about, Maya Angelou. And still I rise. Why? Bill Alley is anti-fragile. He beat on us, knock us down, bury us, hang us, lynch us. Still can't get rid of us. Alhamdulillah. We are in Allah's hands as a people. So that's also one of the reasons why don't get overwhelmed by thinking that you're the only one that has to do something in order for things to be. You got to do something, no doubt. We all have to do something. Tie your camel and trust in Allah. But at the same time, don't lust after results. That's a critical precept. No, it's got to be the way I want it to be. No, God may say, you want to go through that door. God said, no, that's not the door we're going to go through. You got the right idea, but slow up. I want you to come, you're going to come through this door. But see, now, if you don't obey me, if you follow your own passions, your own urges, your own impulses, though your intention may be good, you're going to make a mistake. So relax. Resign your will to my will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow my guidance, and I'll get you where you want to go faster and more secure than you are. And in conclusion of this, tie that also to the verse of Abraham. Put him in the fire. Where it said, fire be cool and peace for Abraham. So when the Abrahamic mind and heart and spirit finds itself in that situation, oh, yeah, it's fire. But he's cool. She's cool. Why? Because their frame of reference, their presuppositions, their reality, their submission is to the Lord of it all, the Lord of the fire, too. Fire is under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that actually means arguing. People want to argue with an Abrahamic mind, alhamdulillah. The Abrahamic mind is cool. Come on with it. It's fine. Fire is cool. Feels great. You know? So, mashallah, may Allah have mercy on us. May Allah forgive us our shortcomings and errors. Oh Allah, show us the way to worship you. Oh Allah, show us the way to put you first. Oh Allah, show us how to be mindful of you at all times and under all circumstances. Oh Allah, show us how to be free and safe from our own irrational, unreasonable urges and impulses. Oh Allah, give us the courage to act in the ways that your wisdom dictates. Oh Allah, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, open our spirits so that we can see the guidance that you have for us and that we can follow the way that you have for us. We know that you desire only good for those who believe. You desire only good for those who submit their wills to your will. Oh Allah, save us and preserve us from our sense of our own capabilities and our own powers without submitting ourselves to you completely. Make us not, allow us not to be arrogant. Allow us not to have a sense of self-sufficiency without respect for our dependency, our complete dependency on you. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. We pray that you bless Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that you give him the high station that you have promised him. And we beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والحمد لله رب العالمين وأتم الصلاة.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحد على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماءون. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
ربنا ولك الحمد
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب. الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
ربنا ولك الحمد
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين الحمد لله تقبل الله منا
والشكر الحمد لله
اللهم السلام عليكم